Hi, if you're looking for greater hope, assurance, and confidence through the shifting sands of life, then join me on today's episode as we dig deep into the Bible to discover rock-solid truth for life and living from the God of the Bible. I'm your host, Scott Keffer. Hi, and welcome to today's episode. As always, for a deeper experience, you can go to the show notes and download the blank insight sheet. Fill in the blanks along with the group. Depending on how you're listening to this, there will be a link to the episode website at beholdingbibletruth.com, and a sheet with the answers is included as well. Enjoy today's episode. Well, we went through the summer series taking a look at the evidence that the Lord has made for not only for himself, but for the Lord Jesus. Talked about both the fuse and the fallout. Love that concept, right? And then we looked at last week, what's the fallout in our life after the time when the Lord Jesus brought you to himself? He redeemed you from eternity past, but he brought you to himself in a moment, sometimes over moments, right? Depending on our background. But the question is, what is the fallout after? What does that look like? And I gave you a series of questions. How many were challenged by the questions? Well, good, because you don't want to wake up one day and say, I should have asked those questions sometime before, or he calls you home before you have an opportunity to ask those questions, because we do have the opportunity as long as it's still called today, right? 2 days that matter, this day, today, and that day. That day we're not sure of. It's either the day when he calls you home or the day when he calls all of us home at the same time. Who knows what that will be? But he says it will be like a thief in the night, which means it'll seemingly come out of nowhere. But he says, be ready, beware, right? Beware, be ready. Have your wick, right? Your oil filled and your wick rolling. So those questions are really to give us some kind of sense of be thoughtful, be proactive about the life that he's given us. And I continue to think about this idea, of course, of how do we finish well? How do we finish strong? And so that's what we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks is how do you finish strong? How many like to finish strong? Right? You want to finish strong. You want to finish well. You want to finish with your boots on, if you will, right? Whatever that means for each of us, right? This idea that we are called for a purpose. We're here for a purpose, and our time has been determined, predetermined by him, right? The days were ordained when as yet there were none, and he has work for us. He's called us to be co-laborers with him. So we're going to really look at this in terms of how do we finish strong. And it seems to me that if we want to finish well, that we have to be fully grounded, fully grounded. Stand firm. He says, stand firm. So it is, if you build any kind of structure, it is about the footers. No footers, right? The wind comes along and it blows the shack away, right? Strong footers, level footers. So we're going to go to the footers over the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to translate that into what does that look like daily and weekly in my life? What does that look like in my life? We're going to begin in a footer that is challenging for sure, but to me it is the most important footer when it comes to being a Christian. And in order to understand this, we have to start in the right place. And we often start in the wrong place, right? That old Irish joke, which I've said a million times, you know, the guy in the middle of Ireland says, how do I get to Dublin? And the farmer says, well, if I were going to Dublin, I wouldn't start here. So it is about where you start. You know, you're in the mall, they get that map. Where am I going? I have no idea. The most important thing is you are here. So the context is, where do we begin? We always begin at the mall. When we think, when we operate from you are here. Wrong perspective, isn't it? Right? We're wrong perspective. So the Lord says you should begin where? With him, right? And he says, oh, by the way, I've given you a physical ruler to help you measure the distance between how you think and how I think, how I act and how you act. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my actions, my ways, higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. So what is this now, Chris? What are they saying? 90 billion light years. The distance that light would travel 90 billion years. Get into a car, drive 60 miles an hour, never stop for gas or go to the bathroom. Drive for 4.5 months, and you'll travel the distance that light will travel in 1 second. 1 second. Now imagine that, over 90 billion years. It's a little fur. So he's saying, I designed the universe so that you would understand there's a difference here. And so when we need to comprehend the most important things, we have to say, where do we start? God says, start here, which is my philosophy, and that is you go to the core. Always go to the core. Because the further you get out from the core, the more questions and uncertainty arise. We used to say the kids, all right, I'd hold up a BB. This is what you believe you know right now. And the outside of the BB touches everything you don't know. And then a couple years would go by and I'd say, here's a ping pong ball. Here's what you think you know. And the outside touches what you don't know. Here's a tennis ball. Here's a basketball. So what does that mean? The more I know, the more I realize I don't know. Right, really comprehending. So we have to go to the core, to the core, to the core, to the core. So we're gonna go to the core, to me, in the most important understanding about the Lord God that will allow us to finish strong, and that is God's sovereignty and his providence. His sovereignty, sovereignty, his sovereignty and providence. Old time word doesn't get used much. Unless maybe you go to a Scottish Presbyterian church or something, right? Presbyterian. A.W. Pink said this many years ago. He says, the trend of modern theology, if theology it can be called at all, is ever toward the deification of the creature rather than the glorification of the creator. The deification of the creature. I mean, like, you can be like God. Gee, I've heard that before. Where did I hear that before? You can be like God. And today you can be like God. You can choose that they're going to be a man or a woman. You can choose to be a cat. They're now putting litter boxes in schools. People choose to be dogs or cats. Of course, you can be like God. You don't even have to be human. You can choose the deification of the creature. And he said, the leaven of the present day rationalism is rapidly permeating the whole of Christendom. The malevolent, is that how you say that? The bad. The bad effects of Darwinianism are more far-reaching than most are aware. Darwinianism, deification of the individual. So I ask you up on top, which one is your God? Which one is your God? Cosmic watchmaker. He wound up the world and lets it run. He steps in here and there when he's called upon. When he's called upon. What's that? What do they call that called? You know, break glass in case of emergency. God is the emergency God, right? You break glass in case. Loving and caring, he's like Wilford Brimley. He's the grandfather. But, oh, too bad. He's just not powerful enough. He cares a lot. He's loving. He's caring. He just can't step in. There's just way too much evil in the world. It's too strong. It's too powerful. But he does love and care for you. He just can't do anything about it. He's wise and kind. He'd love to help, but he's also bound by people's actions. Or he's the absolute king who actively ordains and brings to pass everything that takes place in heaven and on earth. So this is a gray and furry lives in the tree question, right? Hey, Johnny, what's gray and furry and lives in the tree? And he says in Sunday school, hey, it sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. So we know the answer, right? So if you think about this question out there, you want to put this, write this. No, he is, and put a blank. And then live like he is blank. So what's the difference? The first one is the Jesus answer. I know he is, right? So A, B, C, or D. What's the answer? Well, we're good evangelical Christians. That's right, A, B, C, or D. Yeah, okay. The second one's the more important one. How do you live like he is? How do you live like he is? Now, you can start by saying, how does my neighbor live like he is? How do people in church live like he is? How does my spouse or friend live like he is? Always better to answer that about others. So that's what we're going to discover today. How do I live like he is? How do I live like he is? Because it requires us, I believe, to finish strong. If you're going to finish strong as the world unfolds, because we tend to think the world is going down, down, down. Who would say that's true? And yet, if you read the world in history, I mean, things are bad, but they ain't as bad as they were in Rome. They ain't as bad as they were in Babylon. They aren't as bad as they were for Daniel or a lot of other folks, right? So that doesn't mean there aren't issues. So you need to be fully grounded in God's sovereignty and providence. Sovereignty and providence. I hate when the Lord does this too. You know, you say, I know, Lord, but things aren't so bad for me. I don't want to teach on this. I really don't. Because are you going to show me something? Are you going to make me apply this to my life? How many of you are like that? The biggest challenge to preaching line upon line, precept upon precept, is I have to preach the stuff I like and I have to preach the stuff I don't like. I hate that, don't you? I like to keep some of it over here and some of it here, right? But the problem is Scripture has it all, because it's speaking about a God who is incomparable, a God who is indescribable, a God who is ineffable, a God who is beyond our comprehension. If you are not left with serious questions, then you're not looking at the God of the universe, or you're ignoring a lot of life. There are questions, for sure. This is why we have to run to the core. Run to the core, what we know to be sure. What we know to be sure is, let's read this. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. That's what we know to be true. His sovereignty rules over all. John Calvin said, by an erroneous opinion, viz. That all things happen fortuitously, by chance. They just seem to happen. The true doctrine of providence has not only been obscured, but almost buried. All events whatsoever are governed by the secret counsel of God, spoken in the, 1500s? So, the first thing for sure is God reigns. God reigns, and he reigns always, in all places, at all times. For sure, as we go through here, you need to keep, we're going to talk about these next week, the tabouts. Everybody know what the tabouts are? What about? What about that situation? What about that? What about right? There are going to be a whole bunch of tabouts. You just keep your little list. We're going to talk about the tabouts next week, right? All the tabouts. What about? Right, so our God reigns. And he reigns how long in Exodus? Forever and ever. As in ever before, ever in the midst, and ever after. Which means before he created the heavens and the earth, he was reigning upon a throne that was forever. What? Josh, you say, this makes my head hurt. It should make your head hurt. Finite cannot comprehend infinite because finite has a beginning. Infinite doesn't. What was God doing? Because we think, what was God doing for all that time? Well, there was no time because God is. I am that I am. I was that I was. I will be that I will be. See, it should just take our breath away. It should leave us breathless. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many clouds be glad. He says, met the many. Light. And he says, here is what you know. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. It doesn't move. It's built on righteousness and justice. And then he says, loving kindness and truth go before him. But he says, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. Should we be scared? Yes. Mrs. Beaver, no, he's not safe. Is he safe? Right? No, he's not safe, but he's good, and he's good to his own. So we should say, fire goes before him. What? Yes. And then in Revelation, it says at the end of the days, there's going to be lots of praise. And it says, as the sound of many waters. How many have been to Niagara Falls? It's deafening, isn't it? It says praise is going to be like that. As the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Think about it. Thousands upon thousands praising the Lord. It's going to sound like Niagara Falls and thunder. And they're going to be saying, hallelujah. What? Hallelujah to the Lamb. And our God reigns. He reigns. He reigns. So he always reigned, he will always reign, and he reigns in between. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, the only Almighty, reigns. Isn't that good?
Yes.
It's good. It's upon his throne. It's never shaken. It's never moved. Which also means God is free, and he's free to do as he pleases. He's free to do as he pleases. Well, I don't like that. Why? Because I want to be free to do as I please, right? How many want to be free to do as you please? Come on, raise your hand. It's true. We want to be free to do what we please. And it bugs me that I can't coerce God, push him into a corner, twist his arm, and get him to do what I want. What's the magic formula? If I pray these three things, he'll do it. If I do these three things, he'll do it. Aha, he's not controllable. He's not controllable. If he was, think about how scary that would be. Like we know, right? Like we know enough to know. We know enough to know, right? Our God is free to do as he pleases. When? Always. Where? In all places. At all times. Let's read this. I am God, and there's no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Surely I will do it. God's not confused about his ability at all. He's absolutely clear that he can do anything he wants whenever he wants. Right? And so we start to ask, like everybody asks, well, where is your God? You lost somebody. Where is your God? You're going through sickness. Where is your God? You're going through a trial. Where is your God? Come on, where is your God? Don't we ask? We even ask. It goes in our heart, Lord, where are you? King David asked. But the nations say, okay, where is your God? And they say, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. When the nations say, hey, where is your God? What do we say? Our God is in the heavens, and he does as he pleases. Our God is in the heavens, and he does as he pleases. We say with rejoicing, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. So Nebuchadnezzar learned this. He thought, by the power of my hand, I've created this wealth. And scripture says, while the word was still in his mouth, sovereignty was removed from him. 7 years, God says, and you'll learn. And then he says, reason returned to me. I looked up and reason returned to me, and I praise, exalted, and honored the King of heaven. Right? And he knew at that point. Why? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion from generation to generation. It's true. He got it. He looks up. He looks up and his reason returned to him, right? And he says, right, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will. Where? In the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He says, I do according to my will. And Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, the Lord does according to his will. In the host of heaven, where? Among the inhabitants of the earth. And he says, I don't manipulate, maneuver, or control God. Our God is upon his throne. He reigns. He's free. He does as he pleases. No one can ward off his hand. No one. Or say to him, what hast thou done? What hast thou done? In other words, what's up? Fortunately, with grace, we ask, don't we? Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? How come you're doing that? How come you're not doing this? How come you're doing that, right? Fortunately, he's merciful. Piper says, God is never helpless. He's never frustrated. He's not. He's not beyond his means. He's not at the end of his rope. It's not that he's run out of things, right? I love that, right? God is never backed into a corner. What are you going to do now, God? That's a really hard situation. Holy smokes. He does whatever he pleases. So our God reigns. Always. In all places. At all times. He's free. He's free to do as he pleases. And with all praise, we would say, he's holy. He's righteous. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's wise. He's kind, and he's good. And that's what Mrs. Beaver said. Oh, no, he's not safe, but hey, he's holy, gracious, compassionate, wise, kind, and good. She just said, no, he's good. In other words, that's who he is. That's who he is. The controlling sense of his nature. And he's all of those things always, in all places, at all times, whether it looks like it or not. And how many have been in situations where it doesn't look like it? For sure. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't look like this, Lord. Well, duh. He says, yeah, didn't I say that? That's why you will walk by faith. Faith in me, in my character, in my nature, which never changes. The Lord's gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast covenant, unchangeable hesed, his loving kindness never changes. It never ends. Never ends. It's an inexhaustible fountain. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Isn't that good to know? Well, it doesn't look like that. To bout. But he says, his mercies are all his work. I don't see your mercies. Well, that's because you don't see fully. But his mercies are over how many of his works? All his works. He's righteous in all his ways, and he's kind in all his deeds. I have to remind myself of that, because I generally wake up saying, how come not this? How come not that? How come not this? Nobody wakes up and says, Lord, what's up? Why do you continue to be gracious? Right? This is really frustrating. We get together and go like, can we explain why does the Lord continue to be gracious? Why is his loving kindness everlasting? Lord, why is your loving kindness everlasting? What the heck? But his mercies, they're new and fresh every morning. Manna mercies from heaven are waiting for you. You wake up, the manna mercies are there. They're right there. Enough for that day, enough for that day. Yeah, but I want some for tomorrow. He says, you know, manna is for today, not for tomorrow. There'll be more tomorrow. More for tomorrow. And he says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of what? His grace. His grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory. The glory means weight. It means worthiness. It means value, without, right? Without inestimable value. What's inestimable in value? His grace. That means I don't fully get it, right? I don't fully understand his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Where did it come from? He freely bestowed it upon us in the beloved. In the beloved. We're in the beloved? We're in his son? What does that mean? I don't know, but it's good. We're in his son. What does that mean? Whatever is his son is in, we're in his son. We're in the beloved. This, he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm in his son. I don't wake up and go, oh, what's right? What would you put me in your son for? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You know me. You know my past. You know my present. You know my future. You know the stuff I think and say and do every day. Yet you put me in your son? Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, there's an inheritance. And that inheritance is predestined for you, according to the counsel of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. According, underlined, to his purpose. According to his purpose. We have obtained an inheritance, which means his purposes are sovereign. He says he nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Look around. It seems like things are out of control, and in a sense they are. The world is doing this, but our God reigns. His purposes are everlasting. They can't be thwarted. Our God reigns. And lastly, God is worthy. He's worthy. What's he worthy of? Everything. Everything. All honor and glory and praise. Let's read this. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Next, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Is that really cool? Before all time, yes, and now. And forever, forever. Glory, majesty, dominion, authority. Glory, majesty, dominion, authority. When? Before all time, now, and forever. Is that a long time? No, that is beyond time. That is timeless. That is without time. There is no time. You won't wake up and say, what are we doing today? You won't wake up and say, how long have we been here? Because that will be completely gone. You just will be in the place. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, where you'll be, are pleasures forever. We'll be in total, complete joy. You won't be saying, how long we been here? What's happening tomorrow? That's gone. That will be gone. Yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. But it's good. All right, flip over. By the providence of God, Taylor said, I mean that preserving and controlling superintendence, which he exercises over all the operations of the physical universe and all the actions of moral agents. Who are those? Peoples. Peoples. Crazy, nutty peoples. Right? As the old country star used to say, God is great, beer is good, people are crazy. Right? There's the theology right there. Are we supposed to laugh? Beer is good. Are we supposed to laugh? It's okay. Oh, come on. Here we go. All right. And he says, as in the shorter catechism, his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing of all creatures and all their actions. So let's take a look at what is he sovereign over. First thing I put is he's sovereign over all his creation. He's sovereign over all his creation. All created matter. Revelation, they say, worthy are you for you created all things. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, spoken, everything. What power he has to speak and it comes to pass. What? But he is sovereign over that. Who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries. Jeremiah says, you think the heavens send forth rain? Our God sends forth rain. He sends forth. He is in control of the weather, over the natural elements, over all of creation. He's also sovereign over circumstances. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Next. Get ready for tabouts. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Okay, what do we do with that? Is there any more of those? Yes, he says, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that I am the Lord and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness. Okay, I can kind of get that. Forming light and creating darkness. All right, I'm all right with that. Can we move on past that verse? No. Causing well-being and creating calamity. The same word where he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Creating calamity. What is that? Well, there's consequence for sin. There's judicial. So God is sovereign over both. If you don't say, well, how does that work? Don't go to how does that work. You just have to start with it is, and then we'll talk about how does it work. But you have to start with it is. It is the case, right? It is the case. So God is sovereign over circumstances, both chance and calamity. God is sovereign over presidents? Yeah, leaders and nations. It says he is sovereign over leaders and nations. What? He said to Nebuchadnezzar, you better understand that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whomever he wishes. Alexander the Great, when his time came, it just ended. It just ended. I mean, they didn't, it's like, what's up? Like, he was on a roll, and then God just said, nope, time's up. Time's up. That's why he says he nullifies the counsel of the nations. They laugh, right? They laugh. God says he laughs, right? Because he's in charge. God is sovereign over evil intentions and actions. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Evil plans and purposes, including Satan. In Genesis 50:20, we know the Joseph story, right? End of his days, what's he say? It's okay. It's okay to his brothers. You meant it for evil, and God caused it to work for good, right? You meant it for evil. You purposed it. You brothers planned it out. You sketched it out. You talked among yourself. You carried out your intention to throw me into, right? To get me, to lure me out by lies, to throw me in, hoping I would die in there, not knowing that a caravan would come by, bring me out, and that one day you'd be bowing before me. Even though I told you in a dream you would bow before me. You purposed it. You planned it. You executed with evil intention in your heart. And God caused it to work together for good, right? No, God purposed it, planned it, and executed. It's the same verb. Look in there. It's the same verb. They had evil intention. God meant it. He purposed it. He planned it. He executed it for good. It's the same verb. He said, don't be confused. They carried out their evil schemes. I carried out good. How does he do that? He's God. You mean they purposed, planned, executed with evil intention? Yes. Which hurt Joseph. God meant it for good. The ultimate, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself. Let's read both of the Acts. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. So he says, delivered over. Well, how was he delivered over? By the, underline that, predetermined plan, foreknowledge of God. Well, who nailed him to the cross? Godless men. Godless men. You put him to death. But it was God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge. Well, he gets even clearer. Let's read the next Acts. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Well, wait a minute. Who did it? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews. But they were carrying out God's plan and purpose. Does that mean their intent was good? They were thinking good thoughts against Jesus. Jesus said, no one takes my life. No one takes my life. I lay it down of my own initiative. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up. That's our God. That's our God. Which means our God is sovereign over evil, yet God himself is never, ever evil. God is sovereign over evil, yet God himself is never, ever evil. Okay, how many are having like a meltdown here? Well, you should. It should be a bit of, well, wait a minute, how can you be sovereign over evil and yet not be evil? It must be God. Martin Luther said, God cannot act evilly himself, for he's good. He cannot do evil, but he uses evil instruments with good intent, with holy, righteous, gracious, merciful, kind, and wise intent. How awesome is our God. I mean, I would have Control-Alt-Deleted, wouldn't you? The world, like Control-Alt-Delete. What are you messing with this? It says he endures. God endures vessels of wrath. He endures every day the mocking, the laughing, the scorn, you think we endure it. He endures it. He sees it all across. He sees the mistreatment of his people, and he's carrying out his purposes. He cannot be tempted by evil. Why? He himself does not tempt anyone. And I love this. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is upright. He is steadfast, never wavering, There's no evil in him at all. He's a purer eyes than to behold evil, behold sin. How does he do it? I don't know. I really don't know. And yet God's sovereignty does not absolve guilt. God's sovereignty overall does not absolve guilt. Every person is morally responsible. And he remains sovereign over belief and unbelief. He has mercy on whom he... Yep. And he hardens whom he desires. When Moses said, show me your glory, he said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. That's his freedom to be God, to pour out his mercy upon whom he'll have mercy, to set his love upon whom he'll set his love. Well, and lastly, God is sovereign over most things. Want to see if you're awake still. All things. He works. Let's say this. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, when you think about it, you stop. How many things? All things. Always, in all places, at all times. All things. Yeah, but I don't get it. Yeah, that's right. That doesn't change the fact that I work all things according to the counsel of my will. And my will is good and perfect. And I'm good. I can't figure out how you do that. Well, yeah, that's because you're not God. I know, but I want to be. And so we think that the point of this is that God is showing us himself so that we can understand. It's like most things. That's not the point. He hasn't called us to understand. He's called us to trust. He's called us to trust. Trust my sovereignty, trust my character, trust my name, trust my work, trust my motives. Trust me. I know, but I'd like to understand. Can you just show me? Somebody said, when we talk about God's will, and I'm even to New York City, Grand Central Station. Yeah, we assume that when God says, right, know my will, that he's going to take us up into the big train, right, into the big controllers, and he's going to show us all the, how it all works. No, knowing his will is show up on track 32 at 5 o'clock. Yeah, but I thought we were going up there, we're going to show me how it all works and how it all fits together. No, he said, just show up. Just show up. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He works all things, but all things, yes, all things. Good things, hard things, evil things. He works all things together for good. How does it work? I don't really know. I don't. It's because it's beyond comprehension, isn't it? How can you be sovereign over evil but never be evil? Martin Luther used to say that Satan is God's ape. In other words, God's using Satan. We'd say Satan is God's puppet, right? In the end, he's using him. So here's my phrase. So either some things are out of God's sovereign control, which is horrifying. So one answer could be, well, there are some things that are out of his control. Some evil that's so evil it's out of his control. How many say that's horrifying? Which means he'll never bring evil to an end. If there's anything out of his control, he can't bring it to an end. Or all things are under God's sovereign control, which is mystifying. So I'm either mystified or horrified. I choose to be mystified and awed that our God can do all of this. And John Piper said, in Christ, God's awesome sovereign providence is our safe place. It is our place where we are most secure and most free. And I want you to think about it. You run to the core. The core is like the eye of a storm. When you go to the eye of the storm, this is like the eye of the storm, the core of truth. This is the core of the reality. I stand in Christ, in the sovereignty of God, while the storm rages all around me. I don't understand the storm. You don't have to. Just stand in my sovereignty. Know that my loving kindness is upon you, and it will never, ever, 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 ever change. I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you, ever. Well, how do I know that's true? Because I am a never ever. That's who I am, because I'm a never ever. And what I plan and purpose, I do. When I say I will never leave you, I will never leave you. You stand in the eye of the storm. If you wander, it gets hazy out there. The further you wander, right? So we're going to keep going on this because it's a deep subject for sure. But that's our safety. That's our security in the eye of the storm. Make sense? Write down an insight or an application, and then we'll share a couple. So we use different words. He ordains. Those are too strong. He allows. He creates. He right. So I think it's us moving around within this. We're trying to use a word, a verb that allows us to be okay with it. Frankly, this is what we are dealing with, because we all have situations and we go, how can God allow that to happen? Well, he must have allowed it. He didn't ordain it, right? But they're right. So we're coming to grips with verbs that are verbs that allow us to kind of wrap our head around. Does that make sense? So understand this is a beyond understanding concept. And so it will be challenging for you. It's challenging when you talk to other people. If somebody's going through a difficult situation, this is not the time to have a sovereignty of God conversation, right? That's the time to talk about God's mercy and grace or pray for you and help, right? This is a subject for here, for you to ground your faith in, right? For you to ground your life in. So next week we're going to talk about how to apply this to life, both for you and others. Would that be helpful? And then the week after that, we're going to talk about what are the daily and weekly routines that allow this to be, allow us to finish well. Make sense? And may our God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, may he bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his good and glorious face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance and grant you his shalom deep in your soul. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, may the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. And we said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have greater hope, assurance, and confidence in your life and a deeper trust in the God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace, his shalom, in your soul and in your life. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.